The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Are you ever tempted to go into hiding, to keep a low profile so as not to attract attention, to keep silent when speaking out would bring notice, or maybe just to avoid certain situations altogether so that nobody knows who you are? Perhaps not. But I suspect that a lot of Christians are so tempted when faced with the hostility of the world. Luther identified the world along with our sinful flesh and the devil as one of our great enemies, and with good reason. Just look around and see how hostile the world is to the Christian message, both law and gospel, and indeed to those who articulate it. At the very least, the world has developed names with which to dismiss Christians, so that those who advocate Christian morality, well, they're homophobes, they're prejudiced, they're mean-spirited. And those who advocate Christian exceptionalism, especially with respect to other religions like Islam, well, they're intolerant, they're bigoted. And even those who simply affirm that Jesus really died and really rose from the dead in time and space, well, they're dismissed as ignorant fundamentalists. It's no wonder, then, that a lot of us want to go silent, become invisible to the world, muting our Christianity. And yet, what does Jesus tell us? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We can hardly do either by hiding. Now, for many centuries, the church offered an institutional way to hide in monasticism, which promised flight from the world and all of its responsibilities in order to lead a life of prayer. Well, that sounds pretty good. But the monks soon found that leaving the world was easier to talk about than actually to do. After all, even a monk has to eat. And so throughout the Middle Ages, it usually became characteristics of monasteries that they were heavily integrated into the local economy. And the values of the world, well, the monks ended up bringing those right along with themselves, into the monastic walls. But now, for good Lutherans, monasticism is really not much of an option. But that doesn't mean that we can't hide from the world. In fact, we've developed our own mechanisms for doing just that. Now, one way, of course, is simply to compromise with the world instead of confronting it, creating a modus vivendi for getting along with our foes instead of fighting them. Why, that even sounds kind of Christian, doesn't it? After all, aren't we supposed to love our enemies? Well, this technique is particularly useful in the face of social change. When we look at abortion, or homosexual activity, or divorce, or gambling, lots of churches have decided to take a second look and have decided, well, you know, now that we think about it, those things aren't so bad after all. And where once they would have disqualified people from church membership, well, now they're quite all right, even among the clergy. Now, I dare say that most of us here will reject such compromises out of hand for what they are, simply surrendering God's truth. I mean, after all, we're Bible-believing, we're confessional Lutherans, right? Well, of course. But I don't think that that means that we're any more anxious to engage the world than are our more liberal co-religionists. So that one thing that we like to do is to spend our time and our energy talking to ourselves. Maybe even arguing among ourselves. Now, on the one hand, it may very well be true that we have important things to say to one another, and maybe even more important things to defend in our midst. But on the other hand, if our concern is always about us and never about them, well, then maybe they won't even think about us, and maybe they'll just kind of let us alone. In other words, I think that it's easy for us to find all kinds of excuses in church work for never really doing the work to which Jesus sends us in this text. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And make no mistake about it, the world needs salt. The world needs light. Though I am tempted to interpret these two variously as, say, law and gospel, well, let's be content with what the text actually says, at least in the case of light. Let your light shine before others, Jesus said, so that they may see your works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Salt and light, then, are things that Christians do that bring glory to God. And of course, that covers a wide territory. Works of mercy, daily vocation, lending a helping hand, the most generous philanthropy. They're all there. But both for the apostles who first heard these words and for those who aspire to offices within the church, such works have to include what the world needs most, and that is God's word. Christians, especially people like us, need to engage the world with God's truth. For the message of law and gospel is the only tool that we have for reaching people with what they actually need the most: reconciliation, forgiveness with God. So we need to open our mouths and to speak. Now, of course, the world's not going to like that. It will shut its ears so as not to listen. It will open its mouth so as to argue and to revile. And, oh yes, it will shake its fist in our face so as to intimidate and to silence. No wonder, then, that we want to run and hide. But we speak for God. And we speak about the one who didn't hide, who didn't shy away from the battle. Instead, he engaged not only the world, but sin, death, hell, all of them, all together. And he did so when the only path to victory led through the cross, when humiliation and suffering and death were his only weapons. But wield them he did, and he prevailed. Easter triumph followed Good Friday. And so that means that the Christian message, the message we're called to speak, is a message of power. Informative, performative, transformative, all three, because it brings Christ's victory to people, brings it to us, and it brings it to others as well. And that's why we have to speak. Now, our text tells us that our works should lead others to glorify our Father in heaven. Okay, that's good. But God's greatest glory is the gospel. And only in Jesus is God truly our Father. So the work of the word is essential. It has to get done, and we are the ones to do it. You know that, because our Savior has said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.